Talking about don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. I'm going to steal this one. Thank you, Frank. Don't waste your life. And of course, it was an awesome song, awesome rap by the fellas. Harry and Grayson. Do you guys have like rap names? Oh, that's right. Young Jeffrey and G-Money. Or something else. I don't know. Whatever. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 for a second here. I want to read to you a poem before we get started. And I believe if you'll open your heart tonight that you'll see that God wants to speak into your life. This, I'm not sure what this translation is. Maybe the Living Translation or the Message. But let me read this. It's called, I don't even have a title. But it's a poem by C.T. Studd. And I want you to listen to the lines here, the stanzas. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its clays I must fulfill, living for self or in his will. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I like that poem, specifically the echoing line there. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You only get one shot at this life. You know? There's no coming back. There is no reincarnation. There is no second chance to live this life that you've been given. And so I want to encourage you from the scripture tonight and from God's word and from my heart and from God's heart, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. This is a message. It says, companions, as we are in this work with you, we beg you. Listen to the sentiment here. We beg you, please don't squander one bit of this marvelous life God has given us. Don't squander one bit of this marvelous life God has given us. Now, you know, if we're all honest, we could say together that none of us really want our lives to be a waste. None of us want to come to the end of our lives and look back with regret and say, I've wasted it, right? Is anybody, that's your life's goal, your aim to be on your deathbed at 120 years old or however long you're going to be and look back at your life and think, what a waste. Hopefully that's not your aim in your life. And so if we're going to keep from wasting our lives, we need to ask three questions. Number one, what does God want? What does God want? Number two, what will it take? And number three, why? why should you do it? What does God want from you? If you're going to keep from wasting your life, you have to understand this foundational truth. You are not a cosmic accident, nor are you the result of evolutionary chance. You are designed and created by God with a specific purpose. God has a purpose for you. And because we're created by God, it's important to know the intention of our Creator when He created us. Because the invention doesn't decide what it's made for. The creation doesn't decide what its purpose is. The Creator has a purpose for His creation. Right? And we have to know what God wants from us. Everybody say, God has a purpose for my life. Now say it with conviction. God has a purpose for my life.
God has a purpose for my life.
Let me tell you in three words what God wants. Three words what God wants for your life. God wants your whole life. He wants all of you. He wants your very existence. He wants every single part of you. There's not a single verse, not one that says you can be a Christian and live your life any old way you want to. It's just not there. I mean, God wants all of you. He doesn't want 10%. He doesn't want 50%. He doesn't want 99%. He wants 100% of you. Romans 6:13 in the New Living says, give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life, and use your whole body as a tool to do what's right for the glory of God. Now, the words completely and whole body are in there. That should be all of you. Now, if you're willing to give your all for God, but you're just not sure what He expects from you, I've got good news. God hasn't kept His purpose for your life a top secret thing. He's displayed it in His Word. It's not classified information. He's made it knowable. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, this is what the Lord your God wants you to do. Respect the Lord and do what He's told you to do. Love Him. Serve the Lord your God with your whole being. Notice God says, love Him. If you're going to give your all to Him without love, then it adds up to nothing. We've not given God all our lives until we also give Him our love. God doesn't want us to live for Him out of duty or of obligation. He wants us to do it willingly and with love. And how can we show our love to God? Through serving Him. Serving Him with our whole being, it says. And He doesn't want a half-hearted commitment. Some people try to sit on the fence. They say, well, I go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week I'll live for me. I'll give God 3 hours of my week going to church. And I'm so glad that you're here at church on a Saturday night. It says something about you and what you desire. Because you could be anywhere. You could be anywhere tonight. You could be at a birthday party. Some people are. You could be at home in bed sick. Some people are. You could be on restrictions. Some people were. But now they're here. Right? You could be anywhere. You could be anywhere in the CSRA tonight. I was going to say whole world, but that's probably not true for many of you. You could be anywhere. But you're here, and so thank you for being here. But here's the deal. A lot of people compartmentalize their lives in the fact that, anybody ever seen a pie chart? Anybody ever study pie charts in school? So you have the pie chart. Imagine you have a pie. Okay? Who's got a favorite pie? Chocolate pie? Apple pie? Coconut pie? It's interesting. Okay. So you got your coconut pie with cherries, and you've taken a slice and you said, well, this part is my school. It's for my school. This is my school part of my pie. And you got another part. This is my hobbies. This is what I'm doing when I'm not in school. The other part of me, this is my relationship with my boyfriend or girlfriend. This part of the pie, or your friends. Those of you who don't have boyfriends or girlfriends, that's perfectly all right. Perfectly all right. Kudos to you. And that's your relationships. And then you have another part of the pie. That's your video games. Okay. Then you have another small, tiny little sliver that you call your spiritual life or God. And the idea here is that God doesn't want just a piece of the pie. He wants the whole thing. He's hungry. He wants the whole pie. God doesn't want just one piece of the pie. He wants the whole pie. If we don't give God 100%, if we just offer God a piece of the pie, then we haven't given God what he wants. And notice the first question I had to ask you tonight, if you're not going to waste your life, is what does he want? He wants your all. God has a life designed for you that at the end of it, you will not look back and say, I've wasted it. He has a life designed for you filled with purpose and meaning and a life that will make a difference, a life far beyond what you can ever dream. He has that life for you. But if you're going to live that life, you're going to have to give him your whole self, your whole being. We can't have two number one priorities in our life. We can't say, God's number one, but also family's number one and school's number one and everything. You're going to have a number one, you're going to have a number two, a number three, and so on. God will either be number one in our lives or we're just fooling ourselves to think that we love God when other things are crowding him out of our lives. God wants your whole being. I'm going to move on. I believe you understand that. But I think there are certain pieces of the pie that we've tried to keep to ourselves. Maybe that certain areas of your life. We talked about this at camp last year. That, you know, you have this secret room in your house. God, you can come in any room in my house, but not this secret room. This is my room. You can't go there. This is my space. But God wants your whole life. He wants to make a clean sweep of everything. He wants all of you. What does it take to not waste your life? What does it take to become all that God wants you to be? That's a good question, right? You're here tonight and you understand, well, what does God want from me? He wants my whole being. What is it going to take for me not to waste my life? It's going to take one word, discipline. Everybody say discipline. Oh, it's a word that makes us cringe. It's a word that we don't like. We don't like to hear that. Especially, what do you think of when you hear the word discipline? Love. Rules? Yeah. Spankings, maybe? Anybody ever get spanked as a kid? Parents? Okay. I mean, it's not like a happy word, right? What do you think of? Spankings. Oh, you're like, I've had a few of those. Anybody ever had a few of those in your lifetime? Karis, your hands should be way up.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a few myself. But, you know, if life will not be wasted and filled with regret, it must be a disciplined life. You know, Jesus has called us to be his disciples, right? And to follow him, you know, giving God all of our lives, we cannot be a disciple without discipline. The two words go together. Proverbs 10:17 says, whoever practices discipline is on the way to life. Now, being disciplined is worth it. Discipline brings life. Discipline keeps us from living a wasted life. Well, what really is discipline? You know, we all have these ideas of what we think it means and what it's come to mean in our lives by our experience. But if I could just simplify it here, two words that tell you what it is. Discipline is delayed gratification. Delayed gratification. That's all it is. It's doing the difficult thing now to enjoy the benefit later. Now, some of you are already incredibly disciplined. Anybody have a workout routine that they do? Anybody work out a lot? Work out every day? You know, if you're disciplined to do that, then you'll work out every day or three times a week, however often that you do that. You understand what it takes to be disciplined. There's others of you, you understand discipline, but not in the sense that you think of like military style, you know, salute and all your stuff is in order. You understand discipline as it pertains to that you're disciplined to make sure that you watch your TV show whenever it comes on every week, right? And you're so disciplined that even if you miss it or if you're elsewhere, that you'll be disciplined enough to make sure that it's recorded or TiVo'd, right? On your DVR there. That's discipline. And you understand what that means. We're all disciplined in one area or another. I mean, do you know what area you're disciplined in? I'll tell you, you're disciplined in the areas that you want to be. The things that are important to you, you get done, right? Is that true? I mean, what if you were as disciplined in having a daily quiet time with God as you were in not missing a meal? Right? What if you were as disciplined in serving others as you were in getting up and going to school every day? Those are habits that you have, right? Habits are simply the disciplines of your life. You know, if you tell me what you do habitually, I'll tell you what disciplines are in your life. Disciplines are the habits that you do over and over and over without thinking about it. Now, some of us have good habits and others have bad habits. But the thing is, you can change your habits. You have some bad habits, you can get rid of them, and you can implement some good habits. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Keep spiritually fit. You know, just like there are exercises that you can do to keep yourself physically fit, you can exercise spiritually. And of course, there's the norms. Reading your Bible, prayer, attending church. Those are all your pat Christian answers of how do you keep spiritually fit. But you know, and those things are crucial and beneficial to our spiritual health. But I want to talk about in the next minute or so here a spiritual exercise we might not think of, and is the spiritual exercise of letting go. Letting go. We have to learn this discipline. It means simply means that you let go of things because you know you can't add anything else to your schedule without letting go of something else. Like you can't fit in some more time with God unless you let go of something else. Right? We have to learn the exercise of letting go. Hebrews 12:1. Let's put that on the screen there. G money. It says, go ahead and put it up. You find it? Yeah, go ahead and put it in NIV, if you don't mind. Here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I need a couple of volunteers, two people, to help me out here. Two guys, I'm sorry, ladies. Just Wesley, okay. And Caleb. All right, this will work. This will be good. All right, here's what I want you to do. Just to illustrate this fact here, I've got a stopwatch here I want to use and do some timing. Caleb, what I want you to do is pick up Wesley on your back or your hoist him on your shoulders or something, and then give me one suicide down the center aisle and back. And I'm going to time you, and we'll see just how fast and strong you really are, my friend. Ready, set, go. Oh, please don't drop him. So sad. Okay. You didn't touch the line. And time. All right. So you got 7.91 seconds. All right. Now.
Switch.
Wesley, your turn. No, here's what I want you to do. Caleb, I want you to run halfway and with Wesley on your back. And then as you're at that point, just fling him off. You know, no, don't hurt him, but you know, just let go of him. You know what I'm talking about? Let go of him. Let's see if your time changes. Uh-oh. Hold on one second. I figure out my stopwatch.
Let him go halfway.
Run. Yeah, you know, run down, let him off, and yeah. Okay. Ready, set, go. Oh boy, you better book it. I'm gonna beat your other time. Oh, you did it. Not by much. 7.48 seconds. But it did improve your time. And so, you can have a seat. Thank you, guys. Wesley was, we could say that Wesley was either sin or weights in that situation. Wesley and sin. Come on, buddy. There are two things that limit your potential in life. Two things that waste your life. And these are two things that you have to let go of. One of these is sins and the other is weights. It talks about, that verse says, let us strip off every weight that hinders, and especially the sin. So it's two different things. Not sin is weight, but sins and weights. Now, sins are breaking the commandments of God, and you know these are definitely things that waste your life. And God says you have to let go of these things. You have to strip them off. And most of us know, you know, what sin is: disobeying what God has said. It's missing the mark, and we can't get rid of sin on our own. We need God's help. But when we let go of our sin, when we repent and turn to go the other way, God forgives us and he gives us a new start. But what about the weights? There's the sins, and then what about the weights? What are they? Well, a weight is something that's not necessarily wrong. It's just not necessary. Have you thought of that? There's some things in life that are, that may not be necessarily wrong, but they're just not necessary. It could be a relationship. It could be an expectation. It could be an activity. It could be a club. It could be a memory that you refuse to let go of. It could be fear. It could be a job. There are hundreds of thousands of different kinds of weights. And the Bible says to grow, you must learn to say no. You can't say yes to everything. You have to set some things aside. You have to let go of some things to pursue what God has for you. And that's part of discipline. If you're going to make space for God in your life, if you're going to give him your all, you have to let go of some things that you've been holding on to in order to live the life that he's destined for you to live. So you want to keep from wasting your life, be filled and being filled with regret, have those three questions to answer. What does God want from me? He wants your whole being. What is it going to take? It's going to take discipline. And the last question, why? Why should you do it? I mean, it seems like a lot of effort, right? I mean, giving God all of who you are, being disciplined to do the right thing and say the right thing and find out from him what he wants specifically for your life. Why? Why should you do it? I mean, it's your life, right? Why can't you just live it the way you want to? I mean, who's to say your life has been a waste if you live to please yourself? I mean, eat, drink, and be merry, right? Let me tell you why you should want to give your life completely to God. Let me tell you why you should live a disciplined life. Two words, the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, the NIV says this. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Jesus lived his life with a single goal in mind. He lived to die. And through his death, we are reconciled to God. His death paid the penalty for our sin. He laid it all upon the cross. Why shouldn't we live for him? Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ultimately, the life lived separate from Christ is a wasted life. And through the cross, Christ enables us to really live. Jesus has provided life to the fullest. He said that himself in John 10:10, that he's come that we may have life and live it to the full. What are you going to do with the life that Christ offers you? Are you going to waste it? Are you going to throw away his gift of love? What are you going to do with your life in light of the cross? He paid it all upon the cross. He died for you upon the cross. You need to choose to live for him. Now I couldn't possibly, in the 20 minutes or so that I've spoken to you tonight, outline God's specific will for each of your lives. You're going to have to discover that on your own. There can be trusted people, mentors, confidants, people in your life that can guide you into what God has for you specifically. But I couldn't tell you specifically what God has for your life at this juncture. I know some generalities of what God wants for you. He wants you to be blessed and prosperous. He wants you to make a difference. He wants you to reach out in love to those around you. He wants you to be filled with his love and his power and his grace for people. So we're going to do a class. We're doing a class on Sunday mornings at 10:20 that I want to invite all of you to come to. If you don't have a church home that you go to on Sunday mornings, come and join us for this class. It's called Don't Waste Your Life. And it's going to be 8 weeks where we go into depth about what it means to not waste your life, to live an unwasted life, to give yourself completely to God and go after what he has for you and find and discover God's specific will for you. And I want that for each of you. I want that for each and every person in here, that you would know and fulfill God's plan for your life, because he's got a good plan. He's got a specific plan. He's got a great plan a plan. The scripture says in Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite verses in the entirety of the scripture, a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. It's not God's will for you to be in pain or suffering. His plan is not to harm you. A plan to prosper you. A plan for a hope and a future. God has a future for you. God has a bright future for you. And tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ personally, I want to give you the opportunity to meet him tonight. I want, you know, knowing and fulfilling God's plan for your life begins with meeting Christ and making him the Lord of your life. Putting him first place. Putting him at the center of everything that you do. So would you just bow your heads and close your eyes, everybody? To meet Christ, to know Christ, to know for sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die is very simple. The scripture says in Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, make him the Lord of your life, you will be saved. One benefit of being saved is getting to go to heaven when you die. The other benefit is living the abundant life here on the earth. And so if you're here tonight and you say, I've never met this Jesus you're talking about, I don't know that he is the Lord of my life, and I want to make him Lord of my life because I don't want my life to be wasted. I don't want to look at my life 80 years from now and look back and say, I wasted it. I regret every bit because I never made that decision to live for Christ and live fully for him. If you say, that's me, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life tonight. I want to call upon his name and live the unwasted life. Would you just raise your hand and look up at me and say, that's me, I want to do that. If you've never said the prayer to make Jesus your Lord and you want to do that tonight, just lift your hand. Okay, great. Awesome. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to make sure that everybody here is going to go to heaven and live an unwasted life. Would you stand with me? We had a couple people raise their hand. Stand with me and everybody, yeah, go ahead and stand up. We're going to say this prayer together. Would you guys come forward if you raised your hand? I want to pray with you right now. Awesome. Okay. Have you guys ever said a prayer to make Jesus Lord of your life before?
No. Not really.
Not really? Okay. But you ready to do that tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, everybody's going to repeat this after me, and these guys are going to say it. As well, just you believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised again for your sins to pay the price for you? Absolutely. That's what we're going to pray, okay? Just repeat this after me, everybody. Say this, Father in heaven, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died on the cross and you raised him from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord. I accept you and you accept me. Show me your plan for my life. Help me to live an unwasted life. A life for you. I give myself completely to you. I walk in discipline. And I'll do it all for the cross. In Jesus' name.